Moment. Good morning. One more time. Good morning. All right. Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing today? Good. Good. Not fake. I mean, if you were doing bad, you would tell me, right? No. Good morning. Welcome to Emmaus. My name is Leonard Small. I'd like to welcome all of our first-time guests and friends. Inside of your church bulletin, there's this white slip of paper. If you can do me a favor, go ahead and fill that out. In a moment, we're going to be receiving our offering. Before we get into that, we have some kind of a FYI kind of stuff. For those of you with babies and you're looking for a changing table, we have one right here in the prayer room right here and in the handicap stall in the women's bathroom. If there's a line at the women's bathroom, we have a bathroom in the office right here when you walk out to your left. We also have a bathroom right here in the prayer room. If you have kids that need to be preoccupied, we have some coloring pages over here on this back table over here and some crayons. If you need it. And today we're going to be praying for what we should pray for. Right now, I just feel like we just have this overall confusion on how does God feel about certain things. And I think it's real easy to infer how does God feel about certain things. Because we have our Bible telling us one thing, we have society telling us another. And it's kind of hard to differentiate between the two voices that we hear. So we're going to be praying today just for the overall, just the universal church, that we lean more on the truth of God's word and less on the opinions of men. Amen? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and call the ushers up and go ahead and get ready to receive our offering and go into announcements. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you today for your grace and mercy that continues to be new every day. You had no reason to wake me up, but you did. So I am so thankful, Lord God, you have given me life and breath. And so with that, Lord God, I give you all the praises. We thank you as a body of believers that you have allowed us to come together to just be just amazed by you, as we should be every day. But most definitely at times like this, when we get to see our family, as we get this opportunity to read your word. And in doing so, Lord God, we just pray as the truth comes forth that we would lean more upon what you say and less upon what the world says. And if there are points and parts of your word that we kind of doubt, Lord, we just pray that you give us the courage to just stand on your word, even if it doesn't make sense in places of our unbelief. We ask that you give us more faith. Lord, we just pray for this offering for the building of your kingdom. We ask that you give us wisdom to use these monies in a way that glorifies you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Inside your church bulletin, we have the Staying Connected. Emmaus Church has a website. If you go ahead and connect with us there. Also on the Facebook. Again, there will be no child care. Prayerfully, we will have the new edition complete by the end of the month or the beginning of next month. So keep that in prayer that nothing gets pushed back or any problems. And we also have a safety team, and they will be announcing when that will happen. Also, children's ministry, if you have any desire to serve our children, Ms. Shantae, her email is in the church bulletin. Before that gets ramped up, we need you to go ahead and reach out to her. And right now, July 14th at 6, we have Trinity Rescue Mission. And right now, I'm going to call up Pete Diamond to come give an announcement. God bless.
Good morning, guys. We've sure come a long way, huh? From the first building, second building, and now we're here in this space. Good news is we have this wonderful space. We need some help. In the first building, one person could man the front doors and we were good. The building we just came out of, 2 to 3 to 4 maybe. We need about 12 to 15 people every service to help us greet at the front door, get people to their seats in here. So right after the service today, this morning, we're going to have a meeting. If anybody is currently serving as an usher or a greeter, or as anybody's got signed up for it recently, or if anybody hasn't but they're interested in maybe doing that, we sure could use your help. And we're going to have a little huddle meeting over here right after service if you could join us. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Oh, so how are we doing this morning?
Good.
Good to see all of you here this morning. Welcome to Emmaus. For any of you who are visiting, my name's Vic, and we are just glad to have you here with us. We come together as the church, the people of God, and our hope is that as we gather, we grow, and then we leave this place and live that out in the world all around us. And so this isn't church. We are the church. We want to make sure we emphasize that and remind us of that every day, because there's significance in every one of our lives. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. Not just this morning, but you're on this earth for a reason. And you're above ground for a reason. And you're breathing for a reason. And God wants to use you to work through you. And so up until just last week, we've been going through a series, going through the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to actually put that series on hold for a little while. With everything changing as far as our service, having the kids in here and some different things, I want to put that series on hold. We'll come back to it and do part two of Hebrews in the fall. But we are going to shift gears a little bit, and we are going to spend the next 3 to 4 weeks, or however long that side of the building takes, and we are going to talk about the kingdom of God, okay? And basically, we're going to do a short series on the kingdom of God, and you see, it's like this upside-down kingdom when it comes to what the kingdom of God looks like and the kingdom of this world, right? The kingdom of this world functions way differently than the kingdom of God. Here, it's go after everything you can and look out for yourself as number one. The kingdom of God is love others as yourself, sacrifice for others. Here, it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. The kingdom of God, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So it's different, all right? So we're going to talk about that for the next few weeks. And I just think with everything swirling around in our world right now and in the news, it's a worthy topic for us. And it's important for us to make sure that our eyes are fixed properly on God's kingdom as opposed to our kingdom, okay? I don't know about you, but I'm finding it harder and harder to watch the news these days. I mean, you just turn it on and you don't know what's going to be next, but it's rarely good news, right? You know, whether it's the things that have happened in Charleston recently, and you see really the wickedness in the heart of man, everything from what's going on with ISIS, and you think, well, it's on the other side of the world, but not really. It hits home right here. The craziness of the Kardashians and Bruce Jenner. I mean, you can just, it's a laundry list, right? You turn it on and it's just like, man, it's the world that we live in. It's like our culture is on this shifting sand, like the sand of the seashore. And so what do we do? How do we live in the midst of it? You know, we live in a time where, because of social media, anything that's said, I mean, it's out, and a wrong word or a wrong tweet can just ruin someone's reputation just like that, right? And it's real easy to go, well, man, social media, that's evil, and we could vilify that, but it's not a social media issue that we're dealing with, okay? Some people go, man, Facebook, I hate Facebook. There's some people in here who love Facebook. Some people say Facebook's evil. There's other people in this room who say, man, it's a blessing to me because it helps me connect with people and I share prayer requests. And so it's not a Facebook issue, a Twitter issue, a Snapchat issue. It's a people issue, right? I mean, it's a people issue. And you really get down to it, it's a heart issue. And then if you get down, really what it is, it's a sin issue, all right? Because all of us are sinners. Whether you know Jesus or not, we're all sinners. And because of the sin of Adam and Eve, way back, we're Scripture says, sold as slaves to sin, but Jesus has come to set us free. So the message that needs to be heard is the message of Jesus. Amen. And so we go, man, people today need to know about Jesus. They need to know that Jesus came to set captives free, that Jesus came to forgive us of our sin. If we would confess our faith in him, believe that he is the Savior, that he died for us since he rose from the dead, we could be set free. And that's the message that people need to hear. And we sit there and go, amen, man. They need to hear about Jesus, Vic. Well, I just want to make sure that we know this morning that you need to hear about Jesus too. I need to know about Jesus too. You go, well, you've crossed that line of salvation, but you know what? I still need Jesus. And you still need Jesus. I need Jesus today, and I'm going to need Jesus tomorrow. See, because I need him not only to take care of my sin problem, I need him to help me to live out the way he's called me to live, to love people the way he's called me to love, because in and of myself, I'm going to struggle to do that. But by the power of the Spirit, we can do that. I think about the Apostle Paul, okay? So for those of you who don't know about the Apostle Paul, he was a man named Saul, and he was on a mission to destroy the church. He was persecuting the followers of Jesus to the point where he was having them thrown in prison. He approved of the murder of some of the early Christians, okay? So this is Saul of Tarsus. So he is, I mean, you would talk about a sinner. I mean, this guy's up there on the list, right? Not many people in here have killed Christians, okay? All right, so if you're thinking, man, I'm way out there, I'm bad. All right, this guy's got you topped. But he has this encounter with Jesus, and his life is transformed by the grace of God. And he's changed, and he knew that he didn't deserve God's love, but yet he received it, and it changed him. Okay, it not only changed his life, but it changed the way he viewed other people as well. So the love of Christ changed him and impacted the way he lived. Now, this is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 19. These are the words of that man, Paul. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. All right, so let's walk through this a little bit. Look at verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, this is Paul speaking, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. He was compelled by the love of Christ. He was convinced that Jesus died for all people. And he received forgiveness as a result. His life was changed. It says you can become a new creation in Christ. He experienced that. All right, so the love of Christ compelled him to share that love with other people, because he was convinced that Jesus died for all people, okay? He died for the sins of all people. Can you say this with me? All people. That's important, because he didn't just die for the people inside the four walls of quote-unquote church. He died for all people. And so because of that, Paul was compelled to share this message with those who didn't know, regardless of how far they were away from God, because none of them were further than him, or not many anyhow. I mean, this guy was, he was a bad dude. And he experienced that forgiveness. And so now he's compelled to share that with other people. Look at verse 15. And Jesus, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Okay, so he died for all people, not so that we could receive forgiveness and then be selfish, right? He died so that we might be people who live for him, okay? And so Paul understands this, and so he's on a mission to share this love with anyone who he comes in contact with. So Paul took this to heart. Jesus died for all, and he wanted to share that. Now I want to ask you this question. Have we taken that to heart? Do you believe that the people who you know are the farthest from God, that Jesus died for them, and he wants to extend his love and forgiveness to them? Do you believe that? The follow-up question is, if you believe that, have you surrendered and said, all right, God, help me to know how to show them your love? See, because what happens is, yeah, we believe Jesus died for them, and man, we hope they come to Jesus, but God, just don't send me near them, right? I mean, I just got certain barriers, like people come in my house, but Paul's like, no, we're supposed to go to them. Look at verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. He's like, I was looking at Christ from a worldly point of view. He was just a prophet. He was just, there was an uprising, and he didn't see Jesus as the Messiah. When he finally encountered the risen Christ, his life changed. He didn't view him from a worldly point of view anymore. He saw him as the Messiah, God in the flesh. And he goes, now I don't look at anybody the same. See, don't look at people from a worldly point of view, how good they are, how bad they are, how much they follow the rules, how far they are from God. Look at them from a perspective that's kingdom. God's heart for those people. Jesus died for those people. He wants to see them reconciled, brought back into a right relationship with them. See them that way. See them through the eyes of love that God sees them. And then be so daring to think, God may use you to be the one who brings that message of reconciliation. Because Paul goes, we're ministers of reconciliation. So just think through this for a minute. Paul knew that he was a sinner. There's a time in Scripture where he goes, I'm the worst of all sinners. Okay? So he understood that apart from Christ, he was a sinner, lost, and separated from God. Now, granted, his sin was pretty serious and maybe and probably a lot different than a lot of ours, and none of us have gone that far. But the reality is, Scripture says that if you've broken one of the Ten Commandments, hey, listen, it's like you've broken all of them, okay? So we get this scale of this sin's worse than this sin and this one. So I'm not too bad. No, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all turned our backs on God at one time or another. Therefore, without Christ, we are all sinners separated from God. So Paul understood this. And his life was radically changed. And when his life was radically changed, he could genuinely say, listen, if I can be changed, anybody could be changed. And some of you have that story. I have that story. I mean, if God can change, you know, a 21-year-old kid who's just a mess like I was, there's hope, I believe, for the world. There's hope for your neighbor, okay? There's hope for the person in the cubicle next to you who you're going, man, I wish they would just stop using that word over and over again. And, you know, there's hope for those people. There's hope for your in-laws, okay? There's hope for the people under your own roof. But you got to be in a place where you go, God, if you would use me, show me how to show your love to them. So Paul goes, listen, don't view anyone from a worldly perspective anymore. And so I want to ask you this question this morning. How do you view people? Okay? Not just people who are like you, but people. How do you view the people who are different than you? How do you view the people who are farther in your eyes away from God and don't live the way that you do? Do you look down on them? Do you see yourself as better than others? Are there people who you could not imagine being around because their sin is just so great and wicked? Seriously, think about it for a minute. And if you're thinking, yeah, I have a really hard time, I cannot deal with those people, ask yourself, what if Jesus treated you that way? See, because the one who had no sin became sin for us, and he took your sin on the cross, he took my sin on the cross, he took the worst of sinners, Paul, and anybody else you would put in that category today in our culture, he took that on the cross. My sin was there just as theirs. And so how do we look at people? Because you and I have the power by the Holy Spirit. If we've become a new creation in Christ, we have the power to live for him differently and to share his love differently. The living God by his Spirit lives inside of us. And he's given us a mission. Okay, so are you going to live that out perfectly? No. Am I going to love people perfectly? No. But I'm called to live for him and to share that love with people. If anyone's in Christ, he or she is a new creation. All right, so we may not live that out perfectly, but folks, listen to this. We have to die trying. I mean, really, living for him, loving the way that he did, because no matter how upset we might be about the direction our culture is moving or some government ruling or anything like that, you have to remember, laws cannot change the heart of people. only Jesus, by his Spirit, can change the hearts of people. And quite frankly, we shouldn't be that surprised by what's going on in our country. We really shouldn't. And I know some of you go, man, we've just crossed lines, Vic, that I never thought we were crossed. And I think a lot of us would agree with that. But the issue isn't just with our government, okay? Like we said earlier, it's a heart issue. And it's not just our government, okay? It's government as a whole, okay? This issue goes way back. Let me remind you of a story where Samuel, the prophet of God, was rejected by God's people. And listen to these words from 1 Samuel chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 6. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what a king who will reign over them will do. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, this is what the king who will reign over you will do. He'll take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they'll run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He'll take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He'll take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He'll take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants, your men servants and maid servants, and the beast of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles. When Samuel heard all the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. Listen, government has been messed up from the very beginning. I mean, God's people rejected God and clamored for a king. And now I know you go, well, Vic, we don't have a king here, and our country was founded on godly principles with God at the center. And I just want to tell you, even if that were 100% true, there has and always will be corruption, and the issue will remain that God's people rejected their king, and God's people today still reject the king. And those who don't know God certainly reject the true king. So to expect that government's going to make everything good and right, folks, we can't put our hope there. Our hope has to be in King Jesus, period. Okay? Now, we pray for our government. We pray for our leaders. We cry out to God for that. And we stand for truth. We've talked about that before. But we find ourselves in this politically charged time in our country, and laws are being passed that many of us vehemently disagree with. And we want to make sure that everybody knows that, right? A lot of people want to just make sure, and I guess that's okay. We just got to make sure that we know where our allegiance lies, first and foremost, okay? We have one king, and we should pledge allegiance to one kingdom. Are we as Christians, think about it, to pledge allegiance to a nation under God, which really isn't? Or do we pledge allegiance to the God who was and is to come? Now, let me help some of you out before you freak out on me, okay? I love our country. I would not want to live anywhere else. I'm grateful for the freedom we have, and for all those who fight and have fought to maintain it. And I think we should earnestly cry out to God, like I said, for our country. And we should stand for truth however we can. I also believe that marriage is clearly defined in the Bible as a covenant before God with a man and a woman. Okay? I believe the Bible clearly teaches that homosexuality is a sin, as is adultery and any other form of sexual relationship outside of the covenant of marriage. Let's make sure we understand that, all of us, okay? And this isn't just Old Testament stuff. This is stuff that can be found in the New Testament teachings of Jesus. I believe this to be truth, okay? I can't change it. I have no desire to change it. But what I can change is my attitude and my heart response to people who live outside of God's prescribed truth and the best way for them to live, okay? Paul says, don't view people from a worldly perspective. View people from a kingdom perspective. People who reject God are not any different than you who rejected God. Until that point, you repented and turned toward him. All right? None of you, like, you know, you go, how long have you been a Christian? If you say, oh, all my life, you're a liar, okay? Or you don't understand truth. You're not born a Jesus follower. Even if your parents took you to church, quote unquote, all your life, there came a point where you had to have your sin reconciled, where it had to be cleansed, okay? And you surrendered to him. So there was a point which you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and God gives you life and you're a new creation in Christ. And I want to make sure that we don't forget that hope is for the whole world. Jesus died for all sin. There's no one that's too far from him. No one that's too far from his reach. So when we think of these issues, here's the question I have. Are we compelled by the love of Christ as Paul was compelled? Are we reminded that we're all sinners in need of a Savior, and he died for us as well as those who we see out there. So we stand on truth, but we have to be reminded to share that truth in love. There's no one in this world whose sin is any worse than mine. Paul stood there and go, I'm the worst of sinners. And listen, if God's light shines on our lives, that would apply to all of us in this room. Because you know Jesus, you didn't stop sinning. You didn't, okay? And you may be moving closer and closer to him. And hopefully you are, and you're growing in your relationship with him. But if it wasn't for the cross of Jesus and his blood that cleanses me, I would still be condemned because of my sin. No matter how good my life looks on the outside, okay? So we have to remember that. And sometimes our tendency is to want to fight, right? We want to fight for truth. And I guess that's okay. You just have to be very careful. Number one, make sure that it's truth you're fighting for. And make sure the way you fight is the way Scripture says you should fight. You get on your knees and you pray. Love wins over hate. If you hate your brother, you can't love God. That's what John said, not me, okay? So if you're going to fight for something, let's fight for him and for his kingdom. I'm reminded of when Jesus is arrested, right? He just comes out of praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's like, if there's any way, Father, take this cup from me. He's sweating drops of blood. He would prefer to not take on the sin of the world and go to the cross. So he begs the Father. But he says, not my will, but yours be done. Right after that, they come to arrest him. Okay? They come to arrest him. His followers are there. Peter, who, you got to love Peter. Man, if you read the Bible, you got to love Peter because a lot of us can relate to Peter. So they come to arrest Jesus. Peter pulls out the sword. What does he do? I mean, he goes right after one of the guys, cuts his ear off. You know, Peter's ready to fight. I mean, he starts the fight, you know. He's not waiting for someone else to throw the first punch. This dude's like, he's jumping in. So he cuts his ear off. What does Jesus do? Hold on. Give me that ear. Heals the guy. Okay? Now listen to the words of Jesus at this moment. He stands before Pilate shortly after, John 18, verses 35 to 36. Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. See, if Jesus' kingdom was here and now, they would have fought and they would have won because they had Jesus on their side, okay? They would have won, no questions asked. But he goes, listen, if my kingdom was from this world, my servants would fight. But my kingdom's from a different world. See, my kingdom is a kingdom that's to come. It's a very real kingdom. It's more real than this because this one's fading away. And one day, we're either going to breathe our last breath or he's going to return. And this place is going to be gone for us. That kingdom lasts forever. And it's real. And it's a place where there's no more sin or death or dying or racism. All of this stuff that just burdens our hearts and brings destruction to our world will be gone in that kingdom. So he goes, listen, my kingdom's not of this world. If it were, they would fight. So folks, I just want you to hear that. And I want to ask you the question, where is your heart? Where is your focus? Is it this worldly kingdom or is it the kingdom that is to come? And do you love the way that Scripture says we should love? Are you compelled because you see things through the eyes of Christ and his kingdom? Levi, if you guys will come on up. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7. John, the apostle, is given a glimpse of this kingdom. And he shares it with us. Listen, folks, this is the end of the story, okay? This is our reality if you know Jesus. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. She will be my daughter. To him who overcomes. Folks, we might be facing all kinds of things right now that are challenges to us, but we have to stand on the solid foundation of God's word and the love that's been expressed to us through Jesus, and we share that love with people around us. Read an article yesterday. Pete actually posted it on Facebook, of all things, okay? This little girl, teenage girl, Nigeria. She was cornered, captured, and being forced to renounce her faith as a Christian. She refused. So they took her, and they buried her up to her neck, and they stood around her and gave her one last chance, and she refused. And so they took stones and they pelted her with rocks until she died. It's a real story that happened this past week. And they had her father in there in that story commenting and saying he was proud of his daughter for standing for truth because God's kingdom is not of this world. Eternity is where she went to be with Jesus and knows this world is just fading away. And I just want us to think about that. And I want you to be challenged by that. Things could be worse. They may get worse. But the church of Jesus Christ is an unstoppable force. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so they could take away this building, they could take away our rights, they could take away our tax-exempt status, But the church of God, the true church, the remnant will survive and will thrive. You go to countries where all that's been taken away, it's the most powerful expression of the church that you will ever see. Because everything gets stripped away, and then you got one thing left, and that's Jesus and the power of his Spirit. And then you find out what you really believe. All right? So just be careful when it comes to what's going on around you and how you talk to people about that and how you fight. Fight with the weapons of love and grace and truth from God's word and a view that says, man, this whole thing's passing away and I'm watching it happen. But there's a kingdom that's coming that's far greater than all of this, where all this stuff will be gone. If you'll stand with me, let's sing this last song. And as we do, I want you to think about it. In order for us to make this a reality in our lives, we need more of Jesus. That's the answer. We need him more, and we need the power of his Spirit. So I want to ask you to sing this and just ask God, we need more of you. Give that to us, I pray, in the name of Jesus.